The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is the first registration that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in the Galilee to Judea, from the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descendant from the house of the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord came and stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be faithful to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. St. James's has a history of tweaking how we tell the story of the first Christmas during our nativity pageants. A few years ago, one young parishioner wanted to be in the pageant, but he didn't want to be a shepherd or one of the three kings. And he didn't want to be an angel. No, he wanted to be the poop scooper. So, with a broom in one hand and a dustpan in the other, he followed behind our camels on wheels, holding his nose and pretending to pick up what the animals left behind. Now, we did something a bit different at our pageant earlier this evening. The whole production was narrated by a slightly older Mary than we are used to seeing, and a 10-year-old Jesus. Jesus was getting ready for bed, and he wanted Mom to tell him his favorite bedtime story, the miraculous story of his birth. Now, we retained those elements of the normal pageant: curt innkeepers, rambunctious farm animals, and the three kings. But in addition to witnessing the birth of Jesus, we got to imagine a scene from his young life and to see him interact with his mother, not from a cross, but from the comfort of his bed. And then, just as Jesus is about to fall asleep, his mother asks him why he wants to hear the same story every year. The details never change, and Jesus even acknowledges that, like all good stories, his birth narrative is maybe just a bit, just a tad embellished. And when Mary asks this of Jesus, why he wants to hear this story over and over again, he has one of those moments of profundity and tells his mother that, well, life is going to get harder, and that not every story will be a happy one. But that on one cold night many years ago, simple shepherds and pagan foreigners cared for and celebrated these courageous young parents with the child that society would have deemed illegitimate, believing that someone as small and seemingly insignificant as Jesus could inspire a new story for humanity. Now, every Christmas Eve, we darken the doors of our local churches to sing familiar hymns and to hear again this tale of Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the angels and shepherds and the wise men. And like most of the stories we tell this time of year, we all know the ending. Speaking for myself, even the Christmas story can feel a bit rote after hearing it so often, even to the point that it no longer sounds so astonishing. But we still tell it, because, hey, that's what you do. And a good story repeated often enough can have a growing impact in our lives. Unfortunately, bad stories can also feel rote after too many hearings, and when a bad story is repeated too many times, it gets easier and easier and easier to go along with its assumptions without asking questions. And our world tells a lot of bad stories. We hear stories like that we're only of any worth if we remain young, if we remain productive, if we earn enough money. We hear that no one will want us if we don't dress the right way, or if our muscles don't bulge through our expensive clothing. Women hear that they must be pleasant, and men hear that they must be emotionless. And trans people hear that they must either be pleasant women or emotionless men. The world tells these bad stories and many more at the expense of not just these people, but all of us, though some more than others. And because the standards these stories set are largely unachievable, those unable to achieve them are pushed to the margins. Now, we have seen this year what happens when people go ignored in the United States and abroad. Anger builds, relationships fracture, and violence erupts. We see in Aleppo what happens when bad stories are so ingrained that it somehow becomes acceptable to commit mass genocide, creating a refugee crisis of massive proportions. And we have seen how fear can cause otherwise good people to want to close off their communities to such desperate refugees. When bad stories are repeated enough, we believe them, and we live into them without asking enough questions. Now, you've heard the phrase, keep Christ in Christmas. It's quite easy, I would say, to embrace Christ during Christmas, the child, meek and mild. How much harder is it to embrace an older Jesus, an adult Jesus, who instructs us time and time again to feed the hungry, to welcome the stranger, and to give away all of our money? It's no wonder that Jesus is often played by inanimate objects on this night. The itinerant Jewish-Palestinian preacher is much harder to swallow. But the reason we are here tonight is because Jesus grew up telling the world a different kind of story. Jesus healed on the Sabbath, even though he wasn't supposed to. He forgave his closest friends, even though they betrayed him. His ministry told the story of compassion. Jesus preached a message of blessedness to the poor, the hungry, the meek, and the mild. He spoke to lepers and tax collectors, even though his closest friends turned up their noses. His actions told the story of inclusion. Jesus refused a crown and avoided a violent political takeover, even though that is what so many of his followers were ready for. His life told the story that intimidation will always fail, evil has already lost, And the living God is so powerful that she can resurrect the dead. People who believe the bad stories of the world continue to exclude people on moral grounds. They crucify innocents with bombs and in electric chairs and on city streets. They oppress vulnerable communities and enact violence under false promises of stability and peace. People believe bad stories of fear and intimidation because these stories are repeated so much they become second nature. But there are good stories in our world too. There are those who are woke, intent on exposing these bad stories and their perpetrators. There are brave ones who act in solidarity with those forced to the margins. There are generous ones willing to sacrifice comfort for the sake of justice. There is a dedicated group in this St. James's community, some of whom are here this evening, who have spent hours and energy and emotion helping a Syrian refugee family to settle and acclimate in West Hartford. Only one of many cases in this town alone. All these people are determined to be part of a better story, and we can be too. Now, maybe you're here tonight because church on Christmas Eve is a beloved tradition. Now, maybe you have a spiritual hunger or are hoping for a mountaintop experience. Or perhaps you're simply maintaining peace with your family, let's be honest. Some of us are even paid to be here, so the reason we're here doesn't matter. But we will go forth from this place, this community, this Christmas season, to live lives in a world full of bad stories. And our lives must tell a better one. We must bring joy to the world, not false unity and warm, fuzzy, preemptive optimism. No, joy. The joy of believing that a better story has been told in Jesus and can be told by all of us, each and every one of us. Your life can tell the story of compassion. Your life can tell the story of inclusion. Your story can tell the world that power and riches and brute force cannot and will not lead to a better life for one single person. And if you tell this story of God's love in your words and in your actions, people will listen. Because deep down, we all hunger for this story. We need this story, maybe now more than ever. We have to hear this story again and again and again. God came among us in vulnerable human form that we might know our own belovedness, that we might accept our calling as emissaries of God's love, God's justice, and God's mercy. This is the Christmas story. Let it change you. And as it changes you, share it with others. Share it with everyone you meet. The Christmas story is nothing less than the story of God, and it will change the world. Amen.